In a given year, managing an illness can add up to thousands of big and small tasks. Getting prescriptions filled, taking pills, cooking healthy meals, exercising. If you look at it this way, maybe it's not so surprising that the majority of patients struggle with following regimens to control their conditions. It's a number one complaint of physicians, and often patients who don't follow doctors' orders are summed up as non-compliant. But that's too simplistic, says our next guest, Dr. John Steiner. He's the senior director of the Institute for Health Research at Kaiser Permanente, Colorado, and he's one of the people shaping discussions on this topic. John, thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
So unpack the term non-compliant for us. What's all wrapped up in there?
Well, words matter, and I think the term compliance has come into disrepute in recent years because it so implies that the physician sets the standards or defines the terms, and the patient is supposed to simply follow what the doctor has said. A more common term these days is the term adherence, which some people still contend has a sort of paternalistic tone to it, but it tends to accentuate a little more the importance of patient judgment and decision in deciding how to take care of themselves and their medical conditions.
Ideally, should doctors and patients make a plan together for what the patient needs to do to stay healthy?
Yeah, I think this very much needs to be a collaborative effort. The physician has a lot of ideas based in the medical literature and their own experience about strategies that would be helpful to the patient. But ultimately, the patient is in the best position to determine what will work for them in their own context and their own situation. One of the things I often say when I'm talking with physicians about this issue is that we have to remember that ultimately patients have veto power over our recommendations.
What are some questions that perhaps physicians are not asking?
I think a lot of times we focus on the technical aspects of a treatment regimen for diabetes or other conditions and forget all the contextual concerns that patients have that guide their decisions. Questions like, do you have enough money to buy your medications? Do you have a safe place where you can exercise? Do you have enough money to purchase food? And if so, do you have access to the kinds of healthy foods that are recommended for people with diabetes? Those are the sorts of things we often forget to ask.
This is very frustrating for physicians, though, I imagine.
I think it is. We spend all this time acquiring technical training and expertise. And then when we talk to our patients, we realize that so much of what we recommend isn't carried out. And I think the first response is often one of frustration. But I think a deeper and more productive response is to then start to really analyze the situation and try to develop strategies that really do comprise more of a partnership.
Changing habits is a very difficult thing. I think all of us know that. If you've tried to lose weight or adopt an exercise regimen, it's hard. So do physicians think about that in their daily practice?
I think so. And when I'm talking to groups of physicians, I oftentimes try to bring the message home to them directly. I'll ask, how many of you have been prescribed a 10-day supply of antibiotics for an infection? And many of the hands in the room go up. Then I'll ask a follow-up question, which is, how many of you have taken them exactly as prescribed for the whole 10 days? And in that situation, many fewer hands go up.
How important is the relationship between doctor and patient? I imagine that if that relationship is good, it could really motivate patients.
Yeah, there's substantial research supporting that. Better communication between physicians and patients is associated with improved adherence. There are even studies, videotaped interactions between doctors and patients that look at kind of more egalitarian communication patterns where the patients are encouraged to ask questions and explore alternatives. And those sorts of communications are associated with better adherence.
Is there a danger that a physician will disengage from the patient, maybe even from you know, feeling good about what they are doing when it seems like their patients are just not getting better and not really doing what it takes to get better?
There's certainly always that danger. I think, though, that the problem of what we call non-adherence is so common that any physician soon recognizes that this is in some respects the rule rather than the exception. And ideally, then, that really begins to change a physician's thinking from one of frustration that their advice isn't being accepted to really problem solving with the patient in hopes of achieving the outcomes that they really both desire.
John, thank you so much for talking with us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.